But then, as John records, I heard a voice from heaven say, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. Apocalypse 14, 12 to 14. The hope of bodily immortality regained after death is an essential part of our Christian faith. This is one of the central themes of the fourth gospel. Thus, when the Jews determined to kill Jesus, it was because he made himself, as they said, God's equal. He certainly did make himself God's equal. He said, listen, just as the Father raises the dead and grants life, so the Son grants life to those to whom he wishes. Unquote. John 5. 21. But I won't let go this theme until we close the retreat. Life, joy, beatitude await us in eternity on one condition. That faithful to Jesus, we are patient in our endurance until death. And without apologies for saying this, and enjoying the experience. Again, after the miraculous multiplication of loaves and fishes, again in John's Gospel, Christ foretold the Holy Eucharist and then gave us both a promise and a warning. The Jews asked Christ, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Here's Christ's answer. I tell you most solemnly, if you do not eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will not have life in you. Anyone who does eat my flesh and drink my blood has eternal life, and I shall raise him up on the last day. Thanks, Lord. I am sure looking forward to that day. Reception, therefore, of the glorified body of Jesus in the Eucharist is the pledge of our own glorious resurrection. On the last day, or, as the church's language more accurately says, the first day. Again, shortly before his own passion, the Savior raised the dead Lazarus from the grave. But not before he proclaimed himself master of life and death. Remember, Martha had just declared that she knew her brother will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. But then Christ added to what Martha said. I, Jesus said, am the resurrection. If anyone believes in me, even though he dies, he will live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And he asked her, do you believe this? And with Martha, we all answer, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who was to come into this world. So basic is this faith in Christ's power to restore the immortality man had lost through sin that it becomes one of the principal features of St. Paul's 14 letters. He devotes a whole chapter to the subject, covering no less than 7 aspects of the resurrection. Paul tells us, Christ's body, the resurrection, provided it was the object of our own faith, was a true and provable fact of history. First Corinthians 15:1-11. A man really dead, really buried, really rose from the dead. Again, Christ's resurrection is the crowning miracle of the gospel, testifying to our own having been redeemed by the death of Christ, by overcoming death which he underwent in our stead. Jesus confirmed our belief in the redemption. We know that sin was forgiven because the effect of sin, which is death, was conquered by Christ's resurrection. Same chapter 12-19. Again, the glorification of Christ by rising from the grave is the assurance we have of one day rising like him at the dawn of eternity. Same chapter, verses 20-28. Our faith in Christ's resurrection and faith in our own resurrection should lead us to the practice of virtue, a life of pagans for whom death is the end of everything. We know that if we have lived mortified lives, but we must perform the mortification here on earth, we shall be rewarded not only in soul, but also in body, in the life to come. Same chapter, verses 29-34. When we die, our body, St. Paul, under divine inspiration, tells us, is planted. Not buried, planted in the grave. and destined to rise immortal. Beautiful, glorious, and incorruptible. And the degree of our glorification in heaven depends on the measure of our earthly, pardon me, this is the fifth time in one meditation, depends on the measure of our earthly mortification. Our risen bodies, like that of Christ, will be real bodies, dimensional, yet spiritualized. How? Because our souls will behold the face of God, and any spirit which sees the face of God glorifies the body which it animates beyond anything conceivable here on earth. Still the same chapter, verses 44 through 49. All of this is God's promise to those who serve Him in faith and love, but on one condition: stand firm, let nothing move you. And the word is nothing. Neither the seduction of pleasure, nor the dread of pain. If faith tells us I am to forego the pleasure, I do. Faith tells me I am to endure the pain, I do. We are told this is Paul's crowning exhortation. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. And the crucial word here is fully. Why? It's still Paul under divine inspiration. Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. One final statement. All of this is possible, we are told, only, I quote, through our Lord Jesus Christ. All that I've been finally saying, same chapter, verses 50 through 58. Here we close. Lord Jesus, You, the infinite God, became a child. You are born in Bethlehem in order to die in Jerusalem. Teach us, dear Savior, the only real lesson we need to learn on earth. that provided, out of love for you, we choose the cross as you did. Like you, we too will one day be glorified in that eternal beatitude reserved for those who, during life on earth, stood firm and allowed nothing to move them because they loved you. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.